Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Welcome to the weekend, church. It's so great to be here. You know, Sunday is still one of the greatest days of the week for me as we come together to gather on site here at the church and gather online wherever you are from around the world. We are so much better together. And so it's great to be here. It's great to be back. You know, I think we all just came through a long weekend, which is wonderful. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, fun with family and friends, got a little bit of rest. You know, we have much to be thankful for. One of the things that I'm most thankful for is our Calvary family. Just an amazing, amazing group of people. You know, a couple weeks ago, as a church family, we were gathered in Crescent Beach for a water baptism to celebrate those that were braving the icy waters of the West to follow Christ in a deeper way. And it was so, so fantastic. And you know what? As our annual vision offering is coming up for the year next month on November the 8th on Sunday, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to begin to pray, to prepare for that offering on that day, and to participate, to be a part of it, because the seeds that you're sowing are going into good ground, going into the good ground of changed lives that we're seeing every week, even here online, those that are making commitments to follow Christ. And so would you pray? Would you pray about being a part of that special day, that miracle day of generosity that really gives us an opportunity to take a giant leap forward in all that God has called us to do? And you get to be a part of that. And I want you to know that we're praying for you too. We understand that this is a challenging time for many people. And so if you're believing for a big miracle in your life or your own finances, I want to encourage you to plant a big seed. And let's pray for miracles on both fronts, here at the church and in your home and in your family. You know, we've been blessed as we've started this new series this month called Stand Firm. And this series of teachings are grounded in the book of 2 Peter. And so we thought it would be great over the last couple of weeks to kick off that new series with two men who are great friends of this house of Calvary and two people that we have great respect and love for. And so on week one, Bob Cave had an opportunity to share what God was doing around the world. And Bob, you know, in my opinion, Bob is a man who exemplifies what standing firm on God's word and God's call looks like. He and Carol have given their lives to take the gospel around the world, and they've seen so many miracles and continue to see those miracles as Bob oversees the region of Eurasia and the Middle East. And so we're just so honored to stand in their corner to help support the work that God has called them to. And so I pray that you'd continue to do so. Be faithful in not only praying for them, but being a part of supporting them financially. Then last week, Sir Peter Legg was up to bat. This is a titan in the marketplace. Peter is a man who has learned over the years to stand firm with godly integrity and excellence in the business world. And because he has, God has given him great influence. As a renowned author, as an incredible communicator, Peter has written many books, and his testimony of what God has done in his life is known by so many in the marketplace. And I would highly recommend his new book, Under the Influence, How Influence Shapes the Person That You Become. Christmas is coming. This is a great stocking stuffer. Peter has been very generous to donate some books to the church for this book promotion that we're running throughout the month. We're selling them for only $20. They're in bookstores and online. They're worth more than $30. And so take advantage of this great offer and invest in your life with this incredible book. And so we're going to continue to make that available to all of you. And then Peter has generously donated 100% of the proceeds from this book promotion. So thank you, sir. God bless you. You are a blessing to our church, and we're so glad that you and Kay are part of our family. Okay, today in episode 3, we're digging into Peter's second letter in a message that I'm calling Everything That We Need. Everything We Need. You know, 2 Peter is a little book with big, big passion. And it feels intense. As you read this book, you get that sense. But I think it's to be expected when this apostolic pillar of the early church is really, he's penning his last words. And so Peter knows that he's about to die, so he carefully crafts this kind of like a farewell speech directed by the Holy Spirit to this network of churches in Asia Minor. And Peter, I think, wants his final encouragement to the church to be recorded and preserved in order to serve as a kind of a memorial of his teaching to future generations. And that includes you and me. So I want to encourage you that between now and next Sunday, as we bring this series to a close, I want to encourage you to read through this entire book. It's only 3 chapters long, but you will be blessed, and I believe that you'll discover that his message is as timely today as it ever was. So let's start by praying today. I want to pray that the Word of God would change you, would transform you, that his promises would truly affect the trajectory of your life. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word, for the promises that you've given each of us. And I pray today that as we dig deeper into these promises, that they would come alive within us and that you would transform us to reflect more of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, living a fully persuaded life, a convinced life, a life full of faith, means that we put our faith in the Word of God, or more specifically, in the promises of God. And Peter was a man who understood what this meant more intently than anyone. His human side was constantly putting him in situations where he needed to know that God was still with him and that he still loved him. And so he rested his faith on these promises that God gave him. And it worked. It worked in his life. You see, he knew that God could be fully trusted. Peter knew that everything that we would ever need could be found in his promises. So if you've got your Bibles, or you can look on the screen here as well, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's start in verse 1 and read through verse 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, for those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So he's saying, what's up? He's bringing greetings in Jesus' name as he starts this letter. He says, his divine power, listen to this, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. So it's not providing for us a little bit of what we need. The Bible says that his divine power has given us everything. Everything that we need. And we need to cling to that. And then it says, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. So that through them, so these promises, they have a purpose. And when you discover the purpose, Peter's trying to communicate that when you discover these promises that God has given us, that two very important things happen. Two things that I don't want you to miss. The first one is that when you discover these promises, that you can participate in the divine nature. The divine nature. Now, most of the time, if we were honest, when we're sitting in traffic or when we're watching TV or hanging out with our friends. We're not all the time living in the reality of this divine nature. In other words, a lot of Christians today are living a very natural life when God, in fact, has designed and planned for you to live a supernatural life. And so because of it, we often don't reflect the promises of God. Sometimes we reflect the lies that the enemy whispers in our ear. Sometimes we feel not as confident as God has called, or bold or courageous as we're called to be. And so we begin to reflect these lies unknowingly. Because the further we get from his promise and from his truth, we start to look like something different. But Peter's saying that when you stand on these promises, you begin to operate and live in this divine nature. You begin to elevate the authority of God over the authority of the world that's around you. Suddenly that fear is not gripping you like it once did, because his promises in your life allow you to participate in that nature. And then the second thing he says is that we can escape the corruption in the world. Now, there's a lot of corruption, you know. It seems that the darkness keeps getting darker, but I've always said that as it does, the light also gets brighter. Now, I don't know about you, but I want both of those things. I want to live in that supernatural life, that divine nature, but I also want to have the ability to escape the corruption that's around me, that tries to affect me, as the Bible says, because it's caused by these evil desires that we have. Maybe you had some of those at Thanksgiving when you were looking at the third or fourth helping. Some of those evil desires wanted to kick in. But we need to know that God has a better plan for your life. And that when you stand on his purpose, you can live in that divine nature and you can escape the corruption of the world around us. Now, the definition of promise is an offer with a guaranteed result. Now, more than 3,000 years ago, God made some pretty significant promises to a group of people in Egypt, the Israelites. And those promises continue to stand firm at the heart of everything that God has called you and I to do in this present day. You see, the God of the universe has an offer on the table, even today, for you. Maybe you're watching and you're struggling in some of these areas. Maybe the things that you don't want to do, you end up doing. Maybe the things that you want to do, you struggle with trying to make a reality in your daily life. But Peter's trying to give the church hope. He's trying to give you hope that when we stand on the promises of God, that he brings about change within you. Now, many of us know a thing or two about promises, especially when it comes to broken promises. And whether that's in your personal life with the relationships that are closest to you, or in this politically supercharged culture that we're living in right now. How many have seen? Right now we are in an election cycle, both here at home and in the States. And so we're seeing colorful signs with people's names showing up on the side of the road and stapled to the poles and trees. There's names everywhere. And on TV and on the internet, we see people behind microphones who are standing at podiums in front of cameras promising everything, promising the world, and really, in reality, unable to deliver on all of those promises. People get very skeptical after a while when that list of promises keeps going on and on and on, because we realize there's nobody, it's not even possible for somebody to keep all of those promises. And so we hear this. It's all around us. It fills the air. Blah, 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 blah. People give the promises. But then when many of these people, these same people, win that election, suddenly that long list of promises gets considerably shorter when some of those promises are actually even broken. And it causes mistrust. And so it's this vicious cycle. But you need to know that God will never break his promise to you. As a matter of fact, those promises promises that he's placed before you, many of those promises you might not even realize are there. That's why my encouragement to you is to take hold of the Word of God and live in the reality of those promises each and every day, because it will change you. You'll find yourself walking in the kind of life that you always have hoped and prayed and believed for. God has promises for each and every one of us. And when God fulfills his promises, listen, they always come to pass. He always sees them through. Again, chances are many of you have experienced broken promises by a spouse or a parent or a teacher or somebody that you know, or an employer, and that stings. And so all of us have been on the receiving side of a broken promise. And it's not something that we like, but not God. Never. He always keeps his promises. Joshua chapter 21, verse 45 says, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled." Now let me point something out. In the day of the Israelites, when they were alive, not all of them believed that God would see those promises through. Some of them had doubts. Some of them thought, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. And the truth is, if we were honest, some of us have some of those same doubts today. We hear what God has promised us. We read about it. We study it. We sing about it. We encourage one another in it. But there's also a part of us that sometimes doubts the reality of that promise coming to pass in our lives. And some of us struggle in that way. And so sometimes it looks like God is not going to see it through. He's not going to follow through on his word, and yet every time he does. Maybe not in the way that you think it should happen or when it should happen. It often looks much different than maybe we imagine it in our mind. But God is forever faithful. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, "When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock-solid guarantee. God cannot break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable." In other words, it's eternal. It's in motion. God is committed to it. He's not going to promise you one thing, and then when you accept him into your life and follow him, go, "Hey, I can't really keep all those promises I gave you." No, God's promises are yes and amen. We who have run for our lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. See, that's the journey that we're on together. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. I love that wording, the way the message walks that out. His promises are an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances, right to the very presence of God. So, we need to know his promises. We also need to understand his promises, and that takes time. And then we need to pursue those promises each and every day in our lives. We need to know his promises, understand his promises, and pursue them in our daily lives. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, "God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind." How many know people that say one thing and then suddenly they change their mind? The wind blows and they're going in a different direction. It's crazy frustrating, especially when somebody says one thing to this person and a completely different thing to somebody else. That's not God. He's not human. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? No, no, no. He's never going to change his mind. We can stand firm on his promises and discover that everything we need can be found in the promises, because he fulfills those promises. He sees them through. Every day we need to take time to discover what those promises are all about. Promises that you can hold on to each and every day. And when life doesn't make sense, you need to hold on to the promise that God has given you. I believe that in every situation that you will ever face, there's also a verse and a promise that you can anchor your faith to see you through that situation. So as you look out the door and you see masks and you see lockdown and you see things taking place, you need to stand in the promise of Psalm 91, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 at another, but it will not come near you. It's a promise of God. Stand on it. By his stripes, you are healed. Stand and believe what God has told you. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. These are the promises of God that you need to fill your heart and your mind with. Put them on stickies. Put them in your car. Put them on the mirror of your bathroom. Do whatever you have to do to keep the promises of God before you. Because everything you will ever need is found in those promises. So when it comes to these promises, we need to know them, we need to understand them, and we need to pursue them so that we can live a better life than maybe the life that we're currently living right now. See, the original four promises that God gives in Exodus chapter 6, God made to the children of Israel. These are the same promises that Jewish people today will speak out and practice during the Passover. They call them the four I wills of God. But in these I wills, every other promise that God has given is connected to these four core promises that God has given to the children of Israel and to each and every one of us. They are core beliefs, core promises that we can stand firm on in our lives. In other words, all those other promises, and there are many, many promises in the Word of God, they find their heart in these four. Let's read this scripture, Exodus chapter 6, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and listen, I will bring you out. That's the first thing God wants to do in your life. That doesn't mean he's going to fix everything immediately. It's going to be a journey, but he wants to bring you out of Egypt, wants to bring you out of that place of bondage in your life, from under the yoke of the Egyptians, the Bible says. And then it says, I will free you. Okay, now that may sound confusing because we might think that if he's already called me out, isn't this the same thing, calling me out, and then he says he's going to free me? Well, the truth is that when God delivered the children of Israel out of slavery, the problem is that many of them were taken out of Egypt, but Egypt was still inside of them. You see, they may be free, but inside they were still a slave. They were still in bondage to the things that held them down. Many of us are faced with those same realities. And God wants us to be freed. That word free is such a powerful, powerful thing. Because these people were still thinking wrong. They didn't know how to act. Even though they were free now, they didn't know how to live as a free man or a free woman. It goes on to say, from being slaves to them. And then he says, and I will redeem you, or put you back to what you were supposed to be doing. You weren't created originally to be a slave or to be in bondage. So he says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with the mighty axe of judgment. I will take you as my own people. In other words, I'm going to make you my people, something bigger than you could ever be on your own. And I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. So let's look a little deeper at these promises, these core promises. God says, number one, I will bring you out. So that's God's promise to me of salvation. And many people still today confuse salvation with their commitment to a church or a denomination. Well, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Baptist, I'm this or I'm that. No. A church can, a community of faith can help to develop and strengthen your faith, but it cannot save you. He is the only one that can save us, and we need to understand that. It's not a relationship with a church, it's a relationship with a living God. Having that intimacy is so necessary. The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5 says, He saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, so it's not our good works, it's not because we're great people, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of it all. You see, if you're not in a personal relationship with God, you're not saved. You're not out of Egypt yet. But the good news is you can be. And today, even at the end of this service, I would love to have the opportunity to pray for some of you that want to be set free, that want to walk in that liberty and freedom. The second thing that God promises is He says, I will free you. This is God's promise of deliverance. You see, most of you listening today or watching online or here in the building, we're probably, many of you are in this place, number two, this place where there's things that we're stuck in our lives over and we need to be freed from. Now, don't let that word deliverance freak you out. It's not, you know, my head is going to spin around, you know, and somehow there's got to be a priest involved and holy water and a cross. It's not just talking about freedom from demons or the influence of evil. What He's talking about here when it comes to this type of deliverance is that when we get trapped or stuck in our lives, God wants to free you up. He wants to kind of move you past that obstacle. That's the kind of freedom that we're talking about here. Now that you're out of Egypt, God wants to help to bring the Egypt out of you. So many of us, sometimes we're a Christ follower, but sometimes our sin nature interrupts the process that God is at work in our lives to do. And the Apostle Paul, I love the honesty of Scripture, right? We don't have a bar that's set so high to think that I could never do what these people do. And yet Paul is the first one to identify this struggle in his own life to say, man, the things that I want to do, I just don't do. And yet the things that I do are the things that I detest. See, he identifies the reality of this struggle, but he doesn't stop there. He encourages us. In Romans 8, 1-2, he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's you and I. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That is the power of God that can free you. Number three, God says, I will redeem you. This is God's promise of restoration. Now, don't let that word redeem kind of confuse you. It just means to put something back to its original intent. God has an intended plan and purpose for your life. And no matter how far you wander, no matter how confused you get, He is always calling you back to put your train back on that track, to go in the direction that He has created and called you to go in. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, also in the Message translation says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. See, God wants to reveal your uniqueness, and He has something special for you to do and to accomplish. Long ago, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He's working out in everything and everyone. God has a plan for your life where you can make a difference in the world that we're living in. That is what Calvary Church is all about. We are here to help you move forward in your life, to not just be free, but to be free to make a difference in someone else's life. And that leads us perfectly to the last one, number four. When God says, I will take you as my own people. This is God's promise to me of fulfillment. You need to understand that out of those four promises, the first three have everything to do with you and what happens in your life. But in the fourth promise, God takes you and makes it a we. God makes you a people. He expands it. God puts you in a group or on a team or in a church. Now you are part of something bigger. And we can find fulfillment in making a difference in the lives of the people that are around us as we serve like Christ served. John 10:10, love this scripture, ties in perfectly to the third component of the mission of this church. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Loving God, loving people, loving life. Listen, the life that you have doesn't have to be something that you just tolerate or bear or just put up with for another day or another month or another year. God wants you to embrace the life he's given you to make a difference in the world that you're living in, but you cannot do it on your own. Everything you need is found in the promises that God has for your life, and he wants you to know them. He wants you to understand them. He wants you to pursue them. Today, as I close in prayer, I would ask those of you that may be watching or listening today, and maybe you feel your heart skipping a beat because you feel like, I need that kind of freedom that you're talking about. I need to know Jesus in a personal way. See, it's not just a relationship with a church. It's the relationship with the creator of the universe. This is that moment for you. So if that's you today, go ahead and click on that virtual hand on the screen and let us know so that we can pray with you. And then agree with me as we pray this simple prayer together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross for me, for taking my sin, for forgiving me of it, and giving me new life, for giving me a new chance. Dwell within me, be my Lord, and be my Savior. And help me to know that everything that I need is found in the promises that you give me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us today. Take this week. Finish reading the book of 2 Peter as we bring our series in for a close next weekend. And allow those words to be rooted within your life. And begin to find promises within Scripture that you can connect to everything that you're going through, because God will always fulfill what he promises. God's best to every one of you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we look forward to being with you next Sunday.